Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
It's always, always a pleasure to have an opportunity to be a part of the worship here at Graymere. I hope you've had a good day, a good year. It's gone by quickly, hasn't it? I think about what James says. It means a lot more to me now than it did years ago, but life is as a vapor, and it soon vanishes away. And so it behooves us to do what we can, to be active in working in the Lord's service while it's day, because the night will come when we'll no longer be able to do that. Good to see some visitors here tonight who are interested in the India work. Good to see Boyd Jones back home and others from other congregations. And in this last service tonight, it's an opportunity to, as Brother Brewer said in his prayer, to hopefully make some kinship, feelings of kinship with the brethren that we work with and try to assist in India. This congregation goes without my saying, but it's very obvious this congregation is mission-minded. I don't know of a congregation that is more mission-minded and working in so many different fields, so many different places than this congregation. May God bless you as a congregation to continue to do that. One of the areas wherein we work is obviously in India. And so tonight I'd like to just remind you of some of the work that is being done by Graymere. It's the Lord's work, but being supported by this congregation. I hope it's not going to be something that, how to say this, I just hope it's going to be interesting to you. I hope it's something that you're interested in. This is what the Lord came to this earth to do, to seek and to save the lost. And I hope it's something that we're all excited about, whether it's one of the other areas of mission work or India, wherever it is that we have the God-given privilege to work. So tonight, I hope with some enthusiasm we can look at the work. This is the first time I've ever gone to India by myself. Hope I don't have to do that again. There are some here who've been to India from other congregations that are visiting tonight. And Lord willing, some of us will be going back in January the 27th, and be gone until the latter part of the next month. So this is the trip that we made in January. And I said life is vanishing as this first trip I ever made as that young man. I saw that the other day and I didn't realize how old I'm getting and how many years I've been going to India. But really a lot of the credit that of the work in India goes to this man, Charles Thigpen. Charles is not able to go to India any longer. I was hoping he was going to be here tonight. I haven't seen him. But Charles did a good work in India. I enjoyed traveling with him for many, many years, and God for the work he did as he worked with this congregation. Sometimes we try to get a grasp of what is the size of India. I've often said it's about half the size of the United States. This graphic will give you some idea of the land mass, about half the size of this country. And yet if you look in the lower part of that slide, you'll notice that India's population is larger than the combined population of Indonesia, Brazil, Pakistan, and the United States and Bangladesh. Amazing. Almost equaling China, supposedly will in some years unless things change. So in a land half the size of this, the population is unbelievable. Our work primarily, we can't work all over India, and we've tried to concentrate in recent times in this particular area around through here that goes from Goa down to Pondicherry. And on this trip that I took in September, I just worked primarily in the area that you see there. These were some of the places I visited: Arakonam, Tripati, Pondicherry, Chennai. Wanted to go to some other places, but for some difficulties was not able to do so. Just wanted you to look at the traffic. You think you've got bad, you think it's rough around here. You ought to try that. I would never dream of driving in India. You see, occasionally you still see the elephants. You see these little carts every day. It's made for two people and a driver. Sometimes it's amazing. Reminds me of the old days of the circus when all the clowns would get out of the little car. I'm not calling these people clowns. I'm just saying there are a lot of them that get in these little cars. And whole families ride these. And, of course, there's still the bicycles and the ox carts. But Arconum was one of the main places we visited. The Barry's Chapel Church is working very closely with this area also. The church building there in Arconum is one of the finest that you find in India. And these brethren built it themselves without any outside assistance. It's amazing what they've been able to do. It took them 10 years to construct this, but they finally did it. It's a very commodious, very nice, comfortable building. David Sagayam is the minister there. I can't say enough good things about this man. He's one of the most evangelistic men I've ever met. Teaches in the National Bible College, constantly doing house-to-house visitation and Bible studies, holding gospel meetings, encouraging younger preachers, on and on it goes. I asked him how many he had baptized this year, and I just did not write it down to bring with me, but it's a phenomenal number. He doesn't boast about it. He's a very humble man. But they recently had a ladies' day, and I thought some of you sisters in the congregation would be interested to see the ladies getting together. They had a church building practically filled with ladies who had come to study on that day, and they bring their Bibles with them. It always is just so encouraging to see these people with their Bibles, and when you're trying to teach, they can turn to the passages about as fast or faster than you can. David Sagayam just got a new computer. I wish all of our preachers over there could have a computer. Maybe you've got an old laptop that you're not using that you'd like to donate to one of them. Barry's Chapel got this laptop for David Sagayam. It would help them tremendously in their work and in communicating with us. Got him this little PA system while I was there in September. He holds street meetings and various other things. It's just a portable outfit, and he'll use it well. After that, we spent some time in Chennai. Chennai, of course, is the largest city in the state of Tamil Nadu. We've worked there a great deal. This was when I first got there, and early one morning, Solomon and Jaba Kumar came over and had breakfast with me. Two really outstanding men that we help. And this little vehicle, one of the members of the church there at Sinagar has this vehicle, and he picks up Solomon every morning during the week, takes him to the television station. He early in the morning tapes his programs. You've heard me say he has a viewing audience of something like 84, 85 million people. Now he has a daily television program, amazing. And he came by and picked me up that morning to go to the college after. He always stops at this little place and gets some little treats, kind of a breakfast for the students. The school is going well. More students are coming from other countries now than actually right around Chennai, but it's still doing well, and Graymere has a great part in this. Again, as I think back over the years, I can still see that as a cow pasture. Now it has a fine college there, and had the opportunity of teaching about 3 hours a day to the students there for 3 or 4 days. Very rich experience. Lord willing, hope to do that again and again as long as I'm able. And Graymere wants me to go. But the school is going well, and many, many gospel preachers have been trained and are going out into other parts of India from there. The Sinagar congregation started in Solomon's home. He just had a very meager little place. He and his family began to worship in their home. They invited someone else to come. And this congregation finally grew into a congregation of something like a little over 1,000 members. Have 5 different services, different languages. But recently the elders there decided they would build, and they're doing it on their own, no outside help, they would build a new building. So they tore down the ones they had and are building this building. It's a little more elaborate than Solomon really wanted. but it was turned over to someone else to build. But when it's completed, theoretically, it'll seat 1,500 people. That's amazing to think about that many Christians meeting together. And that's not the only congregation there. It's the first congregation in this part of the country of our brethren that has an indoor baptistry. Most of them are outside, or they go to a creek or somewhere of that nature, a pond. But they're going to have a baptistry in that building. It will also have a balcony. It's just an amazing structure. This is looking from the balcony back down. There'll be restrooms in this building, which is something that's kind of unique in India, in the church buildings. This is Jaba Kumar, who has been the preacher there for many years. He's a fine man. This building is where the church is meeting while the new church building is being constructed. While I was there between classes, had an opportunity to visit with some of the preachers. They were having a preachers' meeting and were nice enough to invite me to come and speak to them. But some of these men I'd never met, but I was thrilled to see so many preachers that come together for a preachers' meeting on a regular basis and study together. And so that's what this was. Solomon getting his treats for the students. And then a new congregation has been established. First time I've ever been to this YMCA building. But this congregation was started by Solomon primarily through the television ministry. Most of these people viewed his television program. They were then taught more thoroughly. And now they have the nucleus of a good new congregation in that area. Thought you might be interested also in the utensils they use for the Lord's Supper. The trays are very much like ours. But the collection basket, they don't pass a basket, but they'll use several of these little sacks as on a handle, and the men just walk through the congregation. Many times the people are sitting on the floor, and they just reach down with their contribution. I assume they're putting in, not out, but they just put their collection in that little sack. This is at another congregation. This is also in a YMCA building in another part of Chennai, and this was on a Sunday morning, so that day had an opportunity to preach three times there for Sunday morning worship. And this is at St. Thomas Mount. This congregation began not many years ago in a very, very humble setting. Emmanuel and Peter Solomon's daughter, Emmanuel's wife, went out here and just basically from scratch started a congregation. Now they have a very commodious, beautiful building. This is Sheila, Solomon's daughter, her husband Emmanuel. Sheila, you've heard me say, has, I know, four, maybe five, master's degrees, and Emmanuel, if he doesn't already have his doctorate, will, I think, soon. They're very, very intelligent people, and they started this congregation at St. Thomas Mount, and now they have this beautiful building, but they're leaving. And I said, Emmanuel, why are you leaving this? He said, well, we've got this established. I want to go somewhere where the church has not yet been established. So they're leaving all of that, he and Sheila, moving out of their house, just find somewhere else and where the church has not been established. And he just has a great evangelistic heart and wants to reach other people in other places. So he feels that there's some in that congregation that can carry it on, and he'll just go somewhere else. Standing up on top of that church building at St. Thomas Mount, you can get an idea of the tropical area, the coconut palm trees. This is a very large Catholic church building. It's primarily a Catholic area, but Emmanuel has a good congregation there. Then Tripathi. We work with the people here, the brethren here, Vijay Kumar. You know, in some of those last slides, you saw some very nice houses, but you also, many, many places, people live in these mud huts along the road, just thatched roofs out of coconut palm leaves. You never know what you're going to see on the roads. And this is, of course, what we're faced with. The Hindus, it's an idolatrous, very idolatrous religion. Vijay sent me this a day or two ago. This is a festival of the elephant god there in that city. You know, you read in the Old Testament about the people worshiping Baal, and I've often wondered, how in the world can people bow down to something like a Baal idol that they've made themselves? And then you go to places like this, human nature hasn't changed. And they make these gods, and then they worship them. And that's why it's so important, brethren, for us to take the gospel, the truth, to these people, to set them free from idolatry. But it's the vast majority of the people worship this way. The Hindu religion, over 91% of the population. Muslims, almost 7%. And Christians, using that term in the very broadest sense, denominationalism and everything included, only not quite 2%, about 2%. But that's a lot of people, millions, thousands and thousands of people, when you consider the population of that country. But there's so much work yet to be done. This is a new work that Graymere has undertaken in that particular city of Tripati. It's a South India school of preaching. It's being taught in their own language. These are men that can't afford to go to a school like the one in Chennai, the National Bible College, because they have to work. The school in Chennai, they just go there for 3.5 years. They live there. But these brethren can't do that. And so they come a few times a week and they study together. Then they can still do their jobs and support their families. And Vijay Kumar here has started this college, this school of preaching with Graymere's support. And you'll notice the sign there. And the things that you heard, this is Paul's, of course, statement to Timothy. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And that's what he's trying to do. This was the first time I'd met with him. I was hoping to meet with the students, but they invited not only some of the students, but their families and wives to come as well. And so we had a service there and preached on that occasion. David Sagayam also spoke on that occasion. It was good. And then after that was over, we went a good distance through the neighborhood to this baptistry, which really is a part of a denominational building there. But they would let them use this pool. And on this particular day, there were 9 people to be baptized. One of them is not in this picture. But these 9 people that Vijay Kumar is talking to and making sure they understand what they're doing, taking the good confession from these people. And then they went into this pool and were baptized. This man was blind. Vijay Kumar has converted a good number of blind people. And they it's pitiful where they live, and they try to help them. But anyway, this man was baptized, and several others. This lady was the one that was not in the picture. She's completely crippled, cannot walk. And so they had to carry her up some steps to the porch where I was standing to take this picture, and then down into the baptistry. But she really wanted to obey the gospel. It took several people to assist her, but she likewise. And this man was one who was baptized, and those were his 2 daughters. And the reason I wanted to show you that is because these 2 girls took these jugs, as this girl is holding, and the 2 girls each had one. And they got water in those jugs, and I don't know how far they had to go, but it took them about 100 jugs of water to fill that baptistry up. And those 9 people were baptized into Christ because these 2 girls carried water over and over again to fill up that baptistry. I thought they were just fine. This man I had not met. There's another congregation there in that area that I was glad to see. And then there was a Christian couple, a little church where I've been some lately, and they bought this projector to give to Vijay Kumar to use in the school of preaching there. It's like this projector we're using, except obviously much smaller. But he can use that in the preacher school. He'll use it as he preaches out in villages and things. It'll be a useful tool for him. They'll put it to good use. We had a service there in that city that night. Had good attendance for that. And this man, I wanted you to meet him. He's a medical doctor, good song leader, interprets quite often. He's on a number of occasions left his practice in order to come and interpret for us or to work with us and help us, and he helped us that night. This is a preacher that I had not met. He has no support, needs a little bit, but he nevertheless is doing what he can and was there that night. You find many of these little village churches, very small little buildings, but people who have learned the truth, and they're willing to worship in places like that. And Vijay Kumar there has converted many of them. And he goes from place to place like that. But it was an interesting experience this time because I was in the state that's colored there called Andhra Pradesh. Just below that is Tamil Nadu, the state where Chennai is. But I was up in Andhra Pradesh where Vijay Kumar is, where these people were just baptized. Well, I had been there a few days and I was ready to leave to go to several other places. And I got a call early in the morning and said, "You can't get out of the city. Don't try to leave." And they went on to explain that there was a riot going on in that area. And what's happened is the government, the people have voted, and they have divided that state of Andhra Pradesh into two states. And the people didn't want, the people in the green area did not want to divide. The ones in the green area are really more educated people. However, the water's in the other part. The large hospital in that state is in the other part. And so it was something people didn't want. In fact, they wanted it so, did not want it so badly. And the reason I couldn't get out was because they put barricades like this across the roads and set tires and various other things on fire and cut down trees, and there was just no way to get out. And they barricaded all the roads. And this was just taken out the window of a hotel where I was staying. And that four-lane road usually is so packed with cars and various other motorcycles and things, you wouldn't dream of crossing it on foot. But with this strike going on, nothing moving. So there was no way to get in or get out of that area at that time. And so since I couldn't go to the other places or the cities that I had planned to, we rented this hall, or Vijay and the brethren did. It really belongs to a Lutheran group, but we were able to use it to have some meetings, and so met there that night. So we didn't just stay there, but we went on and had some good services. This is a medical doctor also that was there. He's a member of the church. And this lady is also a medical doctor that was at the service that evening. Afterwards, we went to the home of the blind people, these blind men that Vijay and the brethren have helped. The one here in the middle is a pretty good song leader. And he and his wife and several others live in this this place. I don't know how to describe it. Very, very meager, bars on the window to protect them. And the brethren try to help them. They really don't have enough money to even pay the rent for these people. But this is his wife. She's also blind. And the man in the blue shirt was the one that was baptized in the pictures I showed you a few moments ago. And the man who has his hands on that block there, a couple here in this congregation gave some money, and we were able to buy this. This is just part of it, but it's an apparatus where they can make chalk and then sell the chalk to get a little bit of income to live off of. It's so meager. They use a lot of chalk in India, by the way. Out in front of so many houses, they draw all kinds of designs. Some of it's to keep evil spirits out and so forth. But anyway, they can sell the chalk. And thankfully for a couple in this congregation, we were able to do that. And they feel like they're doing something to help themselves, doing what they can. And so he was showing me that I had asked to see it. On another occasion, we went over to this man's house. It was a rather nice place. He is the manager. He's a member of the church. He's the manager of a hotel restaurant. But his little boy, and by the way, you can see Spider-Man has reached India, got his pajamas on. But the other little boy had gotten his foot caught in the spokes. I don't know. Surely it wasn't a motorcycle. I guess a bicycle. But he wasn't able to walk. I felt bad. His parents made him get up to take the picture. But they wanted us to come and have prayer for the little boy because of his accident. But that man has been very nice to us and helped us on a number of occasions. This was the little car I had. I had to leave it there. I had rented that, but because of the strike, couldn't get out. So we had to go by train. Trains were still running. We didn't have any transportation to the train station, so a little a mile or so, we walked with our bags and got down here. Train stations and trains in India, interesting to say the least. But one of the things that's interesting, you notice the man and his little girl there with their heads shaved. In Tripati, there is that huge temple of the Hindus where the people go and have their heads shaved. It's next to the Vatican, they say, the most visited religious site in the world. And thousands a day come here and go up to that temple, Hindus. And they had the women, the men, the children. They worship that idol that you see in the upper right-hand corner and others. And they let them shave their heads, and then the hair is sold, and they make bukus of money for the Hindu religion. But they make wigs out of that and various other things, and it's very expensive. But they're very dedicated, and they'll you can just see all of the hair on the floor there, but women, men, children. And this was back at the train station, and you see men like this all over the place that have been up to the temple there and had their heads shaved. P. Dorma, he was so nice to help me get all my suitcases and things to the train station as we walked down the street. And I asked him to go with me to Chennai. I wanted to be sure I could get on and get off at the right places and not always understanding what they're saying. So he was kind enough to do that. We did get on the train, and this was one stop. I just thought it was interesting. These people had just gotten off the train, and this is a typical sight. They're carrying their, I guess they've been to town, and whatever they bought, they're carrying back home on their heads. Rail system in India is the largest employer in the whole of India. I had planned to go to Sulipet, where the orphanage is that you've seen and you've helped, and Dhanajay is the preacher there. I couldn't get there, so somehow he came down to Chennai where I was, brought this preacher with him, but he's likewise doing a good job, and I just got this from him recently. And he was writing here, this is a denominational preacher, apostolic church, and this man and his son left, they learned the truth. When people hear the truth, so many of them, you know, the power's in the word, and they obeyed the gospel. But the support he'd been getting from the apostolic church, that's gone. Everything is gone. But you'll notice he said, God's going to take care of us. He doesn't have any kind of support now, but he left it all in order to obey the gospel. And now he's teaching members of that church where he was preaching, and seven he's already started working with, and I'm sure he'll work with many others. His son is standing there on the right next to Dhanajaya, but thrilling to see sights like that, and I'm sure these brethren that go to other places see similar things. But then we went down to Pondicherry. Pondicherry was settled by the French originally. Goa, that we go sometime, that was Portuguese. But each of those areas is just a little bit different. And so we do have a work down in Pondicherry. And David Sagayam was good enough to go with me. Came by early in the Sunday morning. And we went down to, by the way, we had to leave so early we didn't get breakfast. And so we stopped at that little restaurant. He ordered something. I got a Pepsi. I had a Kellogg's fruit bar in my pocket, and so that was my breakfast. But he had a good breakfast. But anyway, we got down to Pondicherry, and this is Sagayam and his wife. Sagayam is the preacher there. They've just built some bathroom restrooms on the left in that picture. You'll notice they're up a little higher. And they're having a lot of trouble with that building because it's so low, when it rains, the water just floods in there. So they're going to try to build it up a little bit and also build a little room or two in it where Sagayam and his family can live. But he's a good man. And again, I realized, well, this is inside the building. A lot of mildew from that. It's just mainly poles, steel poles that have been put up. But they've been meeting there in Sagaim, is doing a good work. Churches of Christ salute you, Romans 16:16. And I preached that morning. David Sagaim presided at the Lord's table. This is Sagaim's wife and his daughter. They're very fine people there, and they were nice enough to invite me to their house after services. And you notice his daughter in the blue, and then his son. And again, I was reminded of how old I've gotten and how many years I've been going. And I look back when their children were just little children, and I had black hair. And my shirt's soaking wet. It gets hot over there. But anyway, the years have passed, but it's good to see them doing so well and the church growing and being strong as the years go by. And I'll close basically with this. There are about 1.25 billion souls. And it's said that about 45% of them are under the age of 15. Just think of the millions of young people who are without Christ. We mentioned Chris in our prayer a moment ago that Brother Brewer led us in. I'm thankful we have men that can work with our children. But there's so many young people in India that just don't know anything at all about Christ. And then you think about their parents likewise. And then so many others. It's why we need to go. It's why we need to take the gospel. And when we're supporting a preacher, we're really not supporting a man. We're supporting the gospel. And they're just the earthen vessel. But how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? That's where we come in and others, to tell them about the Christ, that there is hope. It's not this idol. There is a living God. As Paul said on Mars Hill, let me tell you about the true and the living God, not an idol. You see so many idols in India. And as our Lord said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I hope some of you can go to India sometime, or maybe some of these other mission points that Graymere is involved in. Take the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's not the messenger. It's the message that needs to be taken. Well, when you look back over the years, and we look at our work in India as well, go back, please. Can you go back to that there? I just wanted to say that I really believe the story that of Graymere's evangelism in India is a success story. Is it perfect? No. Humans involved? Not going to be perfect. God's part of the church is perfect. The human side is not. It's not here at Graymere. But the work is great. This is a great congregation here. And the work that you're doing, I think it's a success story. And in it all, may God be glorified. May we do what we do to glorify God. And just maybe when we stand before God in judgment, we can look across that vast humanity and see somebody that's going to heaven because of what Graymere did. Not only here, but in many other places. May we never grow weary in well-doing. Stay faithful to it. Don't give up. Bumps in the road, yes, but great things happening. I feel so honored to be a part of you and the Lord's work and what's going on at India because of you. We preach the gospel when we go to India. Same thing we preach here. Same invitation. It's just come to Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. He came to this earth and died for us. And he gave us the gospel, the good news. He was buried and resurrected. And through his blood, we have the opportunity of being forgiven of our sins. And that's what we preach in India. Maybe tonight there's someone who knows and you've been intending to obey the gospel. Why don't you do it tonight? You believe in Jesus, don't you? Aren't you ready to confess it? Be repentant of sins, that's hard, and baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. And if there are those that need to come back to him, need to do it in a public way, this would be a wonderful time. Would you come as we stand and sing?